What is up, sexy, sexy people? It is Dave, it is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new release from UK noisemakers Monolith. The band's new album, Hornet's Nest, will be self-released on March 22nd. Mm. Hailing from Devon and Cornwall, Monolith fuse relentless aggression and a cold atmosphere to create a uniquely impassioned form of modern metal tied to a conceptual narrative spanning their discography. Using each album to showcase and explore varying forms of the genre, Hornet's Nest, their latest offering and the first of three planned releases for 2024. Is their inquest into blackened hardcore, chronicling the depths of human depravity when man is faced with his own mortality. This album displays Monolith at their most raw and visceral, hearkening back to the days of playing floor shows and dive bars with a PA system at breaking point. Once regarded by Metal Hammer as Meshuga in a smack den, their previous releases...
We need to step up our description game, Dave.
Yeah, that's pretty good for Metal Hammer, actually. No Saints, No Solace and Sancta Trinitas, released in March 2020 and 2022 respectively, were reviewed as the grooviest, raw and most primal displays of intelligently painstaking crafted music that metal has offered to date. The band's third album was produced, mixed and mastered by Night Marcher Audio. Not gonna lie, the Meshuga quote was probably a lot to do with this album getting added
right,
to
so
our...
not on your radar?
No, not at all.
Right, because I thought, like, should I know, like, I desperately, like, I didn't listen to any previous stuff, but I did when I was about, what, fucking, what, 4 minutes into it, which is like five tracks. I was like, I felt like it sounded so fucking, like, so intense and so polished. I was like, yeah, that, right, these guys, clearly, this is not album one, right? Yeah. And I went through and I could not recognise any album artwork. And I was like, that, we've definitely never reviewed anything from Monolith. No. But this could be a, Dave's heard a few things, knows a guy that knows a guy that gave him a CD.
No, so the band actually sent us an email and asked if we'd be up for reviewing the album. And when I saw that quote, I was like,
yes.
Son of a bitch. And, also, only 22 and a half minutes long.
I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that is a call that I'll take, Dave.
Yes, that is a selling point.
Oh, yes.
I am on board with. Especially when you're trying to
squander all 22 point whatever minutes of this with mindless ballads.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
A distortion pedal in sight, Dave. Not a breakdown to be heard.
Yeah, breakdowns. However, like, this didn't go quite...
However, shut the fuck up, Duncan.
It didn't go quite as I expected. With, like, that quote in mind, I instantly jumped on Spotify and I was like, right, what we got? Sancta Trinitas, let's fucking fire up that album. And it's like, yes, pounding fucking polyrhythms, the grooves of Meshuga. And, you know, they are a key component of that album. And as a man...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It is ripping at it. Like, it is...
Right, I'm looking forward to this conversation here because, like, the polyrhythms are gone. Like,
yes,
so,
they are. Yes, they,
like,
are. Talking.
Completely gone. Like, yeah, as in, like, someone has done, like, a find replace polygons with 4/4.
Yes.
I'm not against that, so...
As a man who is one of the biggest Meshuga fans on the planet.
Man who counts in polyrhythms. Yes. Should see him count change in his wallet.
I really enjoyed it. I listened to the album, I was like, yes, I am down with this. I'm looking forward to checking out that new release. They've even got the kind of on that album they had the eerie kind of Meshuga lead work. It was like, oh, everyone, right, was like, this is fucking great.
Is this the same band?
It's probably a little bit more varied than Meshuga. It's not like a rip-off or like a copy of them. Monolith are a bit more kind of modern. And there's almost like a little hint of the kind of deathcore on those previous albums as well, just a tiny wee touch. However, imagine my surprise, Duncan, when I hit play on Hornet's Nest and the girthy riff sex of Meshuggah is pretty much non-existent on this album.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I've said it before, I will say it again, Dave, that this album is the very definition of an upfront cunt. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is, yes.
Like, from the first riff, this is like, this is the sound, yep. And shut the fuck up.
That is correct. I was kind of like thinking, what's fucking going on here? Turns out Monolith have changed things up on album number 3.
Switching it. Flipping it and reversing
it. The old switcheroo, Duncan. They've opted for something more of the blackened hardcore variety on this one, which, as I said, I'm not going to lie, caught me off guard at first when I first hit play.
Yep.
But, Duncan, if there's one genre that puts lead in my pencil...
Oh, I mean...
It's fucking hardcore, my man. I mean, like...
Dave puts the hard in core.
Yes, he does. This is relentless. This is like, imagined like if you loaded these files up on an editing system, and you looked at the wave files for this, it would just be 9 straight solid blocks of sound, just like long rectangles across your screen, 9 of them.
It looked like a kid's Lego set.
No real gaps or like prolonged quiet sections. This just, it goes from 0 to 10 in the space of a few seconds and remains there for about 23 minutes.
10 all the way right through, yeah.
Yeah. But within those 23 minutes of chaos, Monolith do also give you variances of this new sound. Oh. From the super visceral like blast attack on Catalyst or The Caves, to a more kind of like mid-paced kind of hardcore stomp on Inquest, or the more kind of crust infused elements on Infinite Abyss, they definitely like to keep it switching, which I really enjoyed on Hornet's Nest. They also kind of pepper this album with a few sections that lean a little bit further into the almost kind of death metal side of things, which, to be honest, makes total sense because they are like kind of teetering on that edge of that extreme sound for most of the album. So when they mix in something akin to something kind of the old school death metal during like Bone Farmer, for example.
Bone Farmer, by the way, is my fucking jam. Play it at my funeral. At the 30-second mark when literally the sounds of recorded hell are played, I shat myself. Like, I swear to God, I listened to it. It was rapidly building and I was like, oh, I know where this is going because, you know, they did it in all of our songs. And I'm sure this is about the 30-second mark. There's just the sounds of, like just tortured, like, fucking souls condemned to eternity just goes, wah! Like this out there. I visibly like was like fucking like is that shit running down my leg? Yes it is. Change your pants, please.
But it's a very natural transition. And there's moments where they get even more direct with it, which I really enjoyed. It almost comes across like a bit kind of Swedish death metal on The Offering, I think, is a really good example of that, where they just let that side of it take the wheel and they give you a really hefty groove, but there's a bit of kind of like nostalgia in there as well. They also weave in something a bit moodier, a bit darker on the closing track.
Smart placed as well, longest track, close out with something with a... Well, I'm saying that. I've got about 2 minutes in it, and I was like, that, they've slowed this right. I'm appreciating the slowdown, and they're like, I was like, don't you. Just for a wee bit.
Yeah.
But they couldn't help themselves, Dave. They had to get a wee bit there.
A Vermin's End, they bring the speed down. It's something that it feels a little bit more in the kind of, almost in the kind of doomier realms. And the chord choices and kind of the lead work really ramps up the like kind of malevolent kind of tones on the track, and they make sure it goes out with a bang by increasing the tempo and the intensity. before just kind of leading out with this huge kind of filthy groove. To be honest, a lot of this made me think of more on that kind of like Danish and partly American scene than the UK. Like I wasn't picturing Cornwall when I was listening to this.
Like I've seen like there's like fucking pictures of Cornwall that go out on fucking tins of biscuits around the world. It's a relatively picturesque part of the world, and then I'm looking at the album artwork.
Yeah.
And the sound, and I'm like, it doesn't mesh. To me, I was expecting you to say the word Danish, just because of the predominance of
100%
very bleak, very fucking miserable Danish music that we've listened to that we love.
For sure. We've recently reviewed like the new Lifesick EP, and like those guys would probably slot into that realm of style, you know, bands wise. It definitely felt more kind of Danish to me at times. Maybe not like quite as distinctive as a band like Lifesick yet, but I think that there's a touch. Maybe a couple of tracks here that are a little bit, I want to say a little bit forgettable, but I like the fact they've moved into something completely different to what they've done previously. Yeah. And the fact they have another two releases coming out this year.
Which makes sense at 20, if this is 22 and a bit minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, and how long was their previous release? Was it, are we talking over the 25 minute mark?
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
So they probably got a lot more in the tank by kind of focusing it down.
Yeah. Interested to see if the other two releases are going to be similar style to this or if they're going to go elsewhere. I think
there's so many kicks to the testicles I can take, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. I think on the production side of things, it's got a lot of weight to it. There's a real kind of coarseness to the album that really suits the style they've went for. I love the kind of HM2 kind of type guitar tone they've got. It really elevates those like deathy parts on the album. I think the vocal delivery adds a lot of like visceral energy to the album. His style and tone is very much like upfront and personal. There was one element of it that I didn't love, and there's a slightly kind of overdriven effect that they use on the vocals. And I felt like they maybe used that a little too much on the album. I think it'd be cool in places, but I felt like as it went on, it felt a little bit repetitive. That aside, I think these guys have huge potential to do something like top tier, to be honest. I think that the playing is tight. They are very accomplished at what they do instrumentally. And the fact they're able to switch over to a style that they haven't really delved into before now and deliver it like this is pretty impressive, to be honest. So I'm much looking forward to what else they've got planned for 2024. How about yourself? What did you make of the rest of this?
Yeah, this is absolutely fucking savage. I'm surprised with that. Like the kind of polyrhythms and all the rest. See, untangling that from a band sound is like almost impossible. If you think and write in polyrhythms, kind of going this direction, is like your brain's not wired that way. It's like, you know what I mean? Like when you write in polyrhythms, that's how your brain works. So to go the other way down a more conventional route, and that's taking nothing away from it, it is. I think it's all 4/4 all the way right through. But it's the level of playing here. The intensity is consistent. The speed, the delivery, the production is huge sounding. Like, see, if you told me, yes, there's 18 guys in this band, I'd be like, yeah, you sure you mean 20? it has that weight about it. We talk about this before when it comes to shorter releases where there's lots of songs, there is a danger of tracks bleeding into one another and thus losing their independence and the overall construction of the album. This album doesn't suffer from that. I actually think they have very definite deliveries of start and stop on all the tracks. Now, when I say stop, I don't mean as in like there's a 2 second break and then the next thing kicks off. As in like whatever picks up, like even a great example, Bone Farmer into the Caves. There's two distinctly different styles of playing on that one, even though they fit under the monolith sound. I think what they actually showed me with kind of great horror and glee in probably equal measure is the fact that they have this like horrifically heavy death metal side, this kind of blast side about them, and just like an emphasis on this kind of, oh, at times almost like hardcore groove, but played at velocity, but this blackened element which almost permeates everything through it, which sits so comfortably. Not the most original thing we've heard. There's a lot of bands in this sphere, we mentioned a few other parts of the world where they're utilising it. It's not something I think about when I think about the UK though, so from that point of view I think actually if anything makes them stand out quite a bit. At 22 and a half minutes long, how can you grumble? They could literally play this live.
Yep.
Assuming they're on a support slot for any band, they could play it in its entirety and then say buy it. And yeah, I probably would, if I'm being honest. They're also, on top of that, I know you were saying there's a kind of almost, it feels like a not quite radio effect on the vocal for some of those savage moments. I quite like it. I know where you're coming from and I know your issue with it, and you're not wrong, but I don't necessarily view the vocals in the same way you are on this release. I'm actually viewing them the same way I would view a guitar effect. So for me, when it comes in, what the rest of the instruments are doing, it actually works for me. I'm not going to argue on this length of album, it leans in on it and you can hear his vocals without the effect and they're just as savage. So I don't necessarily think they add much out with a production technique. Live, he's not going to be doing that. Someone's not going to be pressing a button. He's going to be powering right through it. Bone Farmer for me is... holy fucking shit. if there's two standouts for me, Bone Farmer's one of them and A Vermin's End is the other. For completely different reasons. Bone Farmer comes almost at the halfway mark. And it's the first kind of longer form track. It forms two long form tracks into The Caves, which is the second longer form track of the album. But Bone Farmer just shows a ton of creativity and ingenuity in the playing. A lot of stops and starts, tempo changes, kind of stylistic and writing choices, which make it really, really interesting. And just like a consistent level of, it's just going to get heavier and more disgusting as we go along. A Vermin's End is the perfect close to this because it's the one that paints a huge amount of atmosphere and tone, which the album really hasn't given you. The album's given you like intensity, and A Vermin's End is almost a way to decompress that, but in a way where you feel uneasy. So when it builds back into something with pace and then builds back down into that kind of that realm of atmosphere and uncomfort, it works so well on that. It's a smart move putting it at the end. I would very much like yourself, I'd be curious now that I know they're doing another two things, whether or not they're designed to link in. So if that leads into thematically something on the next release which contains more atmosphere, that would be cool as fuck. And I think if they haven't written it yet and they've just heard that as an idea, please feel free to steal the fuck out of that, because I feel like even from the album artwork, the idea, the hornets, this, the use of samples, which you didn't mention, but the samples in here are telling a story about the end of the world here, about like essentially we end this album on the idea that comets, more than one, are about to hurtle Earth, signalling probably what the album artwork shows, which is almost a red planet of desolation. So, I love those ideas, and the samples are used spaced throughout as well, almost like they are thematically leaning the story through. So I love that. Overall, I think, as a UK band, I think they're doing enough here to make them stand out vastly different from a lot of what the UK scene's doing at the moment. I had pictured more of a Scandinavia behind it just because we've heard a lot of stuff from there. But that's not to say they sound like those bands. They're putting their own spin on it. The blackened elements are what really raise it for me. I think it's what gives it like something a little bit different from the norm. It's hard not to admire bands that just give you everything in a release. We have a small window of time here, so we put it all on the line. The fact that they've got a back catalogue of stuff which is maybe technically more superior from a compositional point of view. You don't, they're not shortchanging you here. The riffs are savage, your solos, techniques, delivery, pace, the drumming is ridiculous. Yeah, it's fucking full-on, powerful, great release. And one at a length that you can very easily, if you're having a bad day, Hornet's Nest is your go-to album. See, if you want to tell your boss to fuck off, listen to this album and it will feel like you have.
Nice. Last thing, scores for Hornet's Nest. This is a really good delivery of an album from a band that I knew nothing about, but are now firmly on my radar after this release. Really exciting to hear that they've switched kind of styles for this album. And, you know, thinking about it more now, the album title of Hornet's Nest completely fits the sound on this album. Even vocally, even though I had that little issue with the kind of vocal effect, I felt maybe got overused a little bit. It kind of fits with the whole Hornet's Nest sound as well.
It's something almost insectoid about it. So.
Yeah, for sure. Really looking forward to hearing what's next. I think this is really good, especially at that length as well. It's very easy just to fire on, you know, two or three times. I'm going to go 4 out of 5 in this one. Really good release. Looking forward to hearing what they're going to do next. What about yourself?
Big Davey, we have an accord. I'm also coming in at a 4 here. I think it's great. I think it's like, there's what's there not to like? And I can't imagine we will not be seeing these guys, hopefully in some dive bar somewhere.
Hell yeah.
And I look forward to having the blood pour from my eardrums. So, 4 out of 5.
Nice. Monolith, Hornet's Nest, out on March 22nd. Links below to the band camp, all that sort of stuff. Check it out. Have a listen. See what you think. Let us know. That's the review. Thanks for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.